Everybody in the control room is awake and at their post, which means I should probably be awake and at my post too. My name is Sean Boonstra. This is Disclosure, and it is another bullpen round or a bullpen day at Disclosure, where we gather a group of men in studio to do what men love, sit around in a circle and share our feelings across the desk. And everybody's already laughing at that because we've actually had bullpen episodes where we said men really hate sitting in a circle and sharing their feelings. And it occurred to us as we said that, that's exactly what we're doing in this room. We're all looking each other in the eyes. And
is it feelings, though, or is it?
This is different, though.
No, this is just advice. We dispense advice. Yes. That's right. Different. In studio to me with me is Ben Torres, again,
hello,
from Meade, Colorado. You were with us on part one of this series on the 10 things that every man should know. I'm glad you're back. We discovered in the last show that you cook.
I do.
And you will be cooking for the
amongst
bullpen.
Other things.
Yeah, I know.
Don't just label me as a cook.
Yeah, but...
That's manly.
It's totally manly.
There's a lot. Yeah.
How many female chefs are there?
Careful.
Less than men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Professionals.
They are there.
A lot of them right now seem to be. Well,
go ahead.
I don't want to say too much. No, there are a lot of.
Write your complaint letters to Ben Torres, box 999, Loveland, Colorado.
A lot of Michelin chefs are men, but that's not true nowadays. There's a lot of
female
Michelin chefs.
No, it's diversified. Yeah. I've always wondered, though, why men ended up as chefs.
Good question.
It's probably just sheer sexism and men have ruined the world. I think that's probably it. Yeah.
I have no idea.
With that, the show is over.
Yeah, and that's the end of the show. Palmer Halverson,
thanks.
Back in studio. It's the same crew that was here for the 10 Things Every Man Should Know, Part 1. Welcome back, Palmer.
Thank
you. Have your eyes gone since episode 1?
No, they have not, Sean. I'm waiting for that. You've told me when I turn 40, and I'm way past that now.
Where are you now? You're 40.
Yeah, I'm in the middle.
You're in the middle?
Yeah, 40. 46. Coming up on 45.
You're 45. Yeah. Oh, so you're older than Palmer.
I'm just a little older.
You're the second oldest man in the room.
Yeah, I'm 45.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah, but I'm not close to 50. You know, you are 50.
No, not yet.
Oh, dude, you're not like yet. Right
at the type of.
You're
no, I'm
right
watching.
Over.
So,
yeah, I know.
I shouldn't have both problems. For example, you talked about my eyes failing me, and my eyes aren't failing me, but I'm losing my hair faster than you. So
I still have hair.
Yeah.
I still have my hair. I don't have anything else going right though. I would trade my hair for my eyesight. I'll tell you that right now.
I probably do the same thing.
Because you can always buy a toupee.
No, thank you.
No.
Hair plugs. Is that manly? I don't think so.
Toupee? I don't know. I've always told Gene, please stop me if I go and get one. Like, I have a big comb over. I'll be honest, Palmer. Like, it is starting to, like, it's further, and it recedes. And when I get a brand new haircut and I see photos from the side, I realize, and with my dad, too, the corners went all the way back. You could park a car on both sides. Mm-hmm. But there's this widow's peak that even my dad still has now. And it's like this isthmus, this peninsula that makes it out to the front.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You're describing my hairstyle. So it's a good thing this is a radio show and most people aren't watching.
Oh, no, you're on camera. Go to voiceofprophecy.com and you can actually see our hair. Alex Rodriguez, welcome back. You're the man who loves shopping. We discovered in the other episode. You're not going to be able to live that
Why?
Down. You know that there's a bench in the hallway at the mall for men. That's what that bench is for.
Yes.
But you're in there picking out outfits, aren't you?
I'm out there shopping.
Yeah. Dude. All right.
It's a great pastime.
I'll give him a little
but
bit of
But you didn't
grace.
Ask what I shop for.
What do you shop for?
I'm not going to go there.
No, that's what I thought.
Men like to shop, but not for clothes, I think.
But
general.
Sean.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
You know, I think that high on his list is like Home Depot, and that's slightly different than going to the shopping
mall.
Oh,
I'll go to the Home Depot. Yeah. I like walking.
Am I right, Alex?
Home Depot, you know. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And TJ Maxx. And...
No, not TJ Maxx. I do like suits, though.
You do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw this. You know, you were talking in the last show. You were talking about tying a tie,
right?
And I saw this this picture on Facebook. I should have printed the thing, but there was a guy that was, I don't know what era that was, maybe 1940s, 1950s or something, and he is just dressed to kill. He's coming across the street.
And so he has a fedora and a violin case.
He was missing the violin case. Yeah, but then next to it, there's another picture, and it's a guy with a man bun. He's got these shorts. He's got a tie dye shirt. He's got this man bun stuck in there, and he's like carrying something. I don't know what he was carrying.
I think
the picture side by side, it was so catching. I mean, it was just like. You know, almost like this is a real man. This is something.
And that's true.
And I'm reminded of that when I go to church, because there was a time where our young men, they dressed, you know, really, really well. I mean, they all had suits, they all had ties. They, you know, and now you sort of have this shift where that doesn't seem to be important anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't mind putting on the suit coat. I hate suits. I hate suits with a. I don't think there's going to be a suit anywhere in heaven. You notice they're moving to robes in heaven. I've read it. You get a robe in heaven. There's no tie. There's no belt. There's no. It's going to be wonderful.
You don't know that. That might be a tie for you.
There's not going to be a tie. No, then I've come
Would
up.
Would that be heaven?
No, I've come up in the wrong resurrection.
You'll have to first learn how to tie before you get in.
Welcome back, Sean. Here's your tie. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm on the wrong side. 10 things every man should know. We covered a lot last time, but it seems like we barely got through our list. I know that you walked in with 31 items, and you've crossed. I can see your list. You've crossed like
six.
Three off. You got through about half of your list, Ben.
Yeah, I got four left, actually.
You got four left. I've got a whole bunch left. Here, I'm going to throw this one on the table, and it's a serious one, but I think I've got how to rule your passions, and I think we alluded to that in episode one.
Mm-hmm.
Self-discipline, I guess. And this doesn't come natural to, you've got discipline.
Yep.
I don't know how to rule your self-discipline, how to rule your passions. I've got scripture for this. This doesn't come naturally for most men because we're told on the one hand as young men, go make things happen. Go conquer something. Go achieve something. And everybody applauds. Hey, we're proud of you. Look at what you've accomplished. But then on the other hand, if you do that in an unbridled fashion, it can lead to indulging in things like anger, embracing your own frustration, impulsive behavior, and those aren't always helpful behavior. So I've got Proverbs 14:29. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Guys, ever done something impulsive?
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to make this. This will fit. This will go in this box.
Oh, my son's like that all the time, and I see it in him. We all are, but with that age, that teenage thing, he just thinks he's invincible. The other day, he thought he was going to ride his bike, and I've got this big fuel tank out there, diesel tank, and there was something else that was in the way, and it was just perfect enough to where you could really squeeze through there on a bicycle, and so. You probably should.
I'm already laughing. Every man in the room is already laughing.
You know? You probably should go slow. But in his mind, he thought, I can really cut that and just do it quickly. And so he did. And the gas tank won out. He stuck that bike right into his gut. And we tried to tell him,
clip
this is dangerous.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You haven't raised your son in a Nerf world? You haven't sort of kept him from hurting himself?
Even I think that with guys, even if you try to protect them like that, they're still going to find a way to. It's just dumb stuff. Like he was sitting on the.
We're all laughing because we've all done it.
Chase going to listen to this
program? We have chickens.
Program?
Yeah, he should. We have chickens at the house, and so when we weren't looking, he decided that a good thing to do would be to climb on the roof of the chicken coop, and then project himself, just jump off and try to bounce off different things that were out there.
Oh, parkour.
Like, I think I can jump from here to here and from there to there and hit the ground. And there's one of those big wheels that electric company uses
to keep the spools.
Mm-hmm. There's one of those. And so he was measuring stuff that he can jump and finally make it. Well, he didn't make it, but this is the kind
landed
of mentality.
Landed in the bottom of the chicken coop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't you find that's an important part of being a – I mean, I would put that on the list. It wasn't there, but I would add it to my list now.
Sure.
Is how to appropriately take risks.
That's very important.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
And I think if you don't allow a young man to – I mean, I'm listening to that story thinking, he should do that while he's 14. Because if I miss that spool at my advanced age,
you guys make me feel old.
Oh no, but I'll be in bed
for a couple days.
Oh, I'll be in bed for a week, man. If I miss that spool, I will pull something that will not heal. Yeah.
Well, if it doesn't kill them, then they learn quite a bit.
And it's kind of cool. You go back to school, you have a cast on, and you get props, you know? You're like,
that's right.
The story.
A cast is a babe magnet.
It's great, though, to learn how to take calculated risks. It's very important, I think.
I would add that. I didn't have it on my list, but, because I hear I was talking about how to rule your passions. I think how to unleash your passions appropriately would also be there, wouldn't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think as parents, that's something that we've got to be there for, helping them through that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have had have self-control, so I guess that's
it's the same kind of a category.
Exactly the same.
But what areas? You know, I know where I tend to I'm looking at Proverbs 15. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. I like a scrap. I you know, it was hard for me meeting Gene to realize not everybody likes to argue all the time. I grew up in a house full of guys, and it was always competitive. And even if you knew you were wrong, you kept the argument going. You know you lost an hour ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're going to close the deal, man.
Exactly.
You are going to win this argument and humiliate your brother. I found out that doesn't go so well in the world of
Gene
dating.
Gene didn't like that.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, Gene will remember this. I don't know, fourth, fifth date. I don't know how many times we'd dated, and we're going out for dinner, and this conversation comes up about, and it's so stupid, which word is older? I've been taking an etymology course at the university. Purple or violet? And I took the purple side because it is a Greek word, and the Greek Empire predated the Latin supremacy on Earth, and violet is a Latin word, and she wasn't interested in the discussion. But I knew I was right with purple, and so I wrote a 2.5-3-page paper and brought it back on the next date. We are married, but there was a lot of damage control to do.
You just snuck by on that.
Wrathful man stirs up strife. He who is slow to anger allays contention. I don't know. I think on the one hand, we're told to tap into our passions to make things happen. Go for it.
Yeah.
You know, break through that barrier. Make it happen. Forget the critics. And then on the other hand, sometimes a temper comes in the wake of that. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
You guys don't see me blow up around the office very often. It's fairly rare, and it's classic when it does go down. I mean, I know how to blow my top like the best of them, but I don't know. What about anger for you guys?
That was number one on my list.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, I wrote down how to manage your emotions. Definitely. It goes along. I think your description is actually better, how to manage your passions. I think part of that has to do with a filter, critical thinking. You get into a situation, you need to slow down a little bit and then ask yourself how you're going to manage, what's going to be the right outcome.
Before you throw the first punch.
Yeah.
And then it's out of control.
Oh, that takes a lot of control, though.
Yeah. I know. And people are saying, this is supposed to be a Christian show. You guys are talking about throwing a punch. We're being real. I grew up throwing punches at my brothers and throwing punches at kids at school.
Which you should know how to do as a guy. Know how to throw a punch.
Yes. And I know this is a Christian show, though. I've got mixed feelings about that. But if you're going to throw one, don't put your thumb inside your fist.
Thank you. Yes.
Young men, do not put your thumb inside. Well, you'll only do that once. And I shouldn't even admit that I know that. Hit with your middle knuckle.
You're teaching people how to fight right now.
Yeah, and that's not right.
That goes with my category.
This is a messed up world we live in.
Yeah.
That goes with my category, which I mentioned in the last show, how to defend yourself and be a protector.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Do you guys, I guess we're almost up against the break, but I want to ask the question now. You know, we're always told, walk away from the fight. Is it always appropriate for a guy to walk away every single time? And I'm talking about Christian men now. And I want you to think about that during the break. I hear the music. Guys in the studio, do you know how to throw a punch, all of you? Yeah? Yeah. Oh, I see fists. Everybody, yeah, I know how to throw a punch. And you don't put your thumb inside. Don't do that. And all right, we got to take a break. I want you to listen to these announcements from the Voice of Prophecy. We have some amazing deals. They're not deals at all. Resources for you. As a matter of fact, you'll never find Bible butter. Eh. Why don't we just take a break and I'll be right back.
As you may know, the Voice of Prophecy is supported by people just like you. We provide Christ-centered programs and Bible studies free of charge so that no one is left out. If you've been blessed by these programs and would like to pay it forward, we invite you to visit vop.com/give to make your tax-deductible donation. We're equipping the world for Christ to come, and your support will make a direct impact on so many lives. That's vop.com/give.
Most of us have lost a loved one to death, and the question we wrestle with in our mind is, what exactly happens when we die? Do we go to heaven, or do we go to hell, as some people believe? Find the Bible's answer to this question in our free Discover Bible Guides. You can get them at VOP.com. Click on the tab that says Study, or just call us at 888-456-7933. That's 888-456-7933.
Well, it's not helpful to all of you out there, but our best discussions happen during the break. And it's funny. It's the minute that we know that there are commercials on the air, everybody's pent-up feelings come out and they tell me what they were really thinking. Before the break, I asked a question. Is it always wrong for a man to walk away from a fight? And again, we were talking about how to throw a punch, and that's true. It's one of the things that I learned as a boy, and I think that every boy learns. And if you're going to throw a punch, don't do it wrong. And I know we're going to get the letters, but Jesus wouldn't do that. He wouldn't throw a punch. What do you guys think? Is it always the right thing to do to walk away? I know that's the general advice of Jesus. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. If anyone wants your coat, let them take the coat. One forces you to walk a mile, walk another mile. And I think the advice of Jesus is to diffuse the situation. Is it always wrong? Always wrong to throw up?
Always is a very strong word.
Yeah.
So my question is, though, are we specifically talking about a physical altercation? Because in my opinion, there were times when Jesus stood firm on issues and he would not budge.
Yeah, I was
he
talking.
He didn't walk away from things.
I think I was talking about a physical altercation. Let's talk about the physical side of it and then move, because I think you've got something there. Let's move over to that next. Let's answer that question, though. Because you've got Samson, you know, and Samson Samson didn't rule his passions well. In the end, it was his undoing, that he clearly didn't rule them well. But in every case, was it wrong? You know, if we go through the Old Testament, there were some physicality, some guys who fought back. I think the general teaching of Jesus is to walk if you can and diffuse if you can. But are there times, I tell you, if there's an intruder about to harm my family, I will stop him.
Right.
And I believe it's my God-given duty to do that.
So I've got 1 Samuel opened.
Okay.
Looking at 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this of course, is going back to the story of David and Goliath. We mentioned David in the last time we were together, but it's an interesting story, especially if you look at it typically, sort of typology of some sort or some kind of comparison. But so 1 Samuel chapter 17, looking at verse 33,
mm-hmm.
Or let's start at verse 32. It says, "Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth.'" And verse 34 is what's intriguing to me. "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God.'"
I already laughed. Every man loves that verse.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a great verse. But it's interesting that David has been placed in charge of these sheep. It's in his care. And he doesn't seem to just step back when something comes to attack the sheep. He doesn't just sit back and say, "Okay, let me just pray. Let me just see if the Lord will strike it down. Maybe the angels will come and deliver these sheep."
He's a physical protector.
He's a physical protector. He goes in physically and tears these things apart. And then of course we find his battle against David or against Goliath, and we see his weapon of choice. It wasn't any of the tools that Saul wanted to give him, but he had already mastered his own weapon, and that was the precursor of a firearm. I think that was
that
sling, and he was tossing this projectile out there, and he was proficient at this, and nobody looks at him and says, "Oh, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have acted in this way." So I do believe that there is a biblical support for defending and for protecting. I don't think we always just have to stand back.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the defining characteristics of whether or not to do this is what's the motivating factor? Is it my anger? Is it my pride? Have I been insulted, so I'm throwing a punch?
Mm-hmm.
Now where it's clearly sin. That's, you're defending your own pride, which is sin. I think there's an important distinction in the story of David. He's defending others. I'm looking at Isaiah, where did I put the verse here? Isaiah 1:17. "Learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow."
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I think in God's world, a man stands up for those who need somebody to stand up for them. And in that case, it probably isn't always wrong. You know, if someone's breaking into the house, I've got my wife and daughters at home, and they're strung out on meth on a Saturday night, and they're going to do harm to the family, I'm going to stop them. because God has put that family in my care.
Yes.
I am going to stop them. But somebody says to me, Sean, you're a moron, and I throw a punch in defense. Obviously, I have a pride and anger problem.
Yeah, I think there's context is huge in this discussion.
Yeah, you look like you're queued up to... No, Alex has got something.
We got Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? This concept of justice throughout Scripture is prominent. It's just permeates the pages of it, that we are to not only be just, but we are to make sure that justice is being dealt out.
Go ahead, Paul.
Would it be true to say, though, that physical force should be like a last resort? Would that be true to say?
I think if there's a way to, you know, we are supposed to represent the kingdom of God. And in episode one, I said the real glory of a man is to have the character of God reproduced in his life.
Sure.
And God bears long with people. So if we're going to have the character of God reproduced in our lives, we bear long with people. And, you know, when God finally pulls the plug on planet Earth in the last judgment, he does that after all the other possibilities have been exhausted. He's extended an invitation of mercy after invitation of mercy. He gave his life for us. And at the end, when people will not come and the suffering will just be perpetuated throughout all eternity, that's when he pulls the plug. And so I think that for a man, when you want, if our highest glory, it's Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, if our highest glory is to know God intimately and have his character reproduced in us, then we should be exhibiting the same trait. So that's my long way of saying, yeah, I think it ought to be last resort when there is no other alternative.
I like something that Alex shared a moment ago out of that verse, out of that story. And you'll notice, I'm just highlighting what you said. David knew how to do this before he got into that compromising situation.
That's right.
There was training involved. He prepared.
Went over to the sling range.
That's right. He went out there.
Is this a transition to a new...
Well, no, you can throw something else, but you've been quiet on that one.
I've been thinking, you know, Goliath was approaching with an immense amount of force.
Sure. Yeah.
And
he's almost 8 feet tall, man.
Right. And so the proper reaction to that was also another immense amount of force from David's point of view, to the point of even cutting Goliath's head off. So in the intruder coming in requires also... an adequate response to the such a threat, then I think you walk away.
Yeah.
Defend, because that's what we're kind of really just talking about, defending, right?
Right.
You defend possibly with force if necessary.
Right.
And then you should walk away and not beat the guy to death.
Yeah.
You know, that's self-control and temper and all this stuff.
I agree. And again, I think it comes down to if it's anger and pride that motivate you, you're probably off base.
Right. Yep.
If it is your God-given duty to be a protector... And this is, you've tried the other avenues. I tell you, the guy kicking in my door on a Saturday night, hey, do not come through that door. Do not come through that door. I've already dialed 911. I've left the phone recording everything that's happening. If you come through that door, I'm going to respond. And he still comes through the door, he means harm, and then I will stop him, but it will be after I try everything else. And once I've stopped him, it's over.
Right.
Well, in law enforcement, we're taught to stop the threat. That's what we have to do. And some folks would say, well, you know, why didn't you just hold him down, or why didn't you just tie his arms? Well, that doesn't necessarily stop the threat. Sometimes you have to do something that is of great force, like in David's case. How does David stop the threat? Well, he actually kills the guy.
Right.
That's what David had to do in that particular instance. But I want to challenge this thought that force. From an individual has to be in response to force.
All right.
Because often, and again, this is from a law enforcement perspective, so often knowledge, training, and experience will let you know that a particular situation can get quite volatile, quite violent very, very quickly if the flags are there.
That was pretty cool. Look at that. He's using his force already. You can't hear why we're laughing.
My pinky.
Yeah,
something just happened.
He just broke the mic stand.
Leave my mic stand alone. Are you trying to shut me down?
You heard us about ruling passions, right?
You're
breaking the mic stands.
So, so through knowledge, training, and experience, you see these flags, and you know that things happen in a split second. Mm-hmm. So there are times that you need to use force even before it has necessarily been given to you because you're training, knowledge, and experience tells you that if I don't stop this right here, then this could be ugly, and it could be my life, or it could mean the life of others. And so you take force, only the force necessary to stop the threat, and then everybody goes.
We got a little smack as you said the word force.
Yeah.
It's like
I just had to.
Yeah, you can take the man out of the police force, but you can't take the police force right. out of the man. Smack, I just moved my chair over a little bit because now I feel bad for making aggressive. Fun of you in episode one.
This is a little bit of a hard discussion, though. Like, I'm guessing that there's some guys out there saying, hey, is this real? Is this something that I should know how to do?
Yeah.
Are you saying should a man take boxing and MMA classes to learn how to fight and defend?
I don't know that I'd go that far. I don't. You know, these aren't easy questions, and I know there will be people listening right now saying this is a Christian show. This is a little bit surprising. Read the Bible. It shouldn't be surprising, this topic. It shouldn't be surprising. I think what we mentioned at the head of this is learning to control your passions appropriately and to use them in the way that God intended. We are tend to be the biggest, strongest person in our families. And the one who could most able to use force, but what's appropriate?
I struggle with this because part of it, you know, I did spend quite a bit of time in law enforcement, and so some people would say, well, you're a little jaded, but I just struggle with this. So, the Lord, if you think about Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, you see him talking and throughout the Gospels. He talks about, you know, this. This was allowed at one particular time, but because of I think he talks a little bit about how why Moses allowed divorce, I think is
that's
one
right.
of those things. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that he phrases that is because of your hard hearts, this was allowed. And as you follow that train of thought through Scripture, you realize that what Jesus is saying is we are no longer in a perfect world.
Right.
We're no
That's
longer
right.
in the ideal. And so in the ideal, we wouldn't have to worry about defending. We wouldn't have to worry about any of this stuff. Now that sin has come in, look at the world that as it is now. People are breaking into people's homes. People are you know, we run a home, or at least are part of a home in India.
That's right.
For women in the sex trade.
And no, they've been rescued from it. Rescued, we do not run a home for women
right,
in
you.
The
rescued in
write your complaint letters.
But how many strikes is that now?
Yeah, that's
the point is that we live in a society that is wicked, is nasty. And as I leave home and my son stays home, and now the guy's taller than me now, then I really do expect him to be able to know how to defend the family.
Right.
And I've put some other things in place. You know, we've got some massive dogs in there. We've got a German Shepherd that you probably don't
You don't
want
have your
with.
Attack cats.
You know, we don't have my attack cats.
In episode one, we found out that he loves cats.
Those attack kitties are down in the basement. That's the first line of defense. They'll claw your eyes out.
They'll eat the remains.
Oh, on that happy note, I hear the music running again. That is an important question. How to rule your passions, how to be strong on behalf of others. Those are two things that were on my list of the top 10 things every man should know, and I think those are worth exploring as men so that we're not acting impulsively, but we're acting appropriately and we're doing it according to the Word of God. So take a few minutes, write down this information from the Voice of Prophecy. I'll be right back.
Disclosure is just one of the programs brought to you by the Voice of Prophecy, like the audio adventure program, Discovery Mountain. Discovery Mountain is a weekly Bible-based program for kids of all ages and backgrounds. Your family will enjoy faith-building stories with Jake Donovan, Mr. Simon, and others in this small mountain town. Each summer, campers visit Discovery Mountain, where they sing songs, learn about God, and reenact a Bible story with the help of drama teachers Miss Wendy and Miss Tamara. With 24 full episodes every year and programming every week, your family will have something uplifting to listen to every week. Listen to episodes on demand and watch video features from Director Doug at DiscoveryMountain.com or on your favorite podcast platform. That's DiscoveryMountain.com.
Top 10 things every man should know. And we walked in with about 70 or 80 items. There are four of us in studio. It's a bullpen episode of Disclosure. where we pull up the ladder into our treehouse, hang out the sign that says no girls allowed, and we just have men discussing faith and culture and, well, just about everything. And what had surfaced in the first half of this show are a couple of items that were on my list, guys, at least, how to rule your passions and how to be strong in behalf of others. And we found that that was kind of tricky ground. Because, you know, we live in a day and age when people say any use of force is always taboo, and we've been exploring that a little bit. Sometimes God's people were called to use force. I think we can agree that if the driving impulse behind that is your pride or just your temper,
right,
you're off base. But if it's truly to defend those who are defenseless and it's your final resort, it's the one thing that will stop the threat, I think we can agree on those things. You were trying to say, both of you, Alex and Palmer, were trying to tell me something during the break. I had my headphones on while Alex was speaking because I didn't want him to talk me into going shopping.
I was thinking out a catalog and I was trying to point a few things that would be nice to get.
No, don't pick my outfits for me, man.
Sean, what I was going to say, really, I'm just describing what's been said in other terms. You know, we talked quite a bit about, you know, potentially you could use the words how to do battle, how to defend.
Right.
And my comment was going to be out of the context of the spread of things that I might encounter in a given week, in a given month, practically speaking, the biggest battle is with self.
Yeah.
Self-control, you know, it goes back to what we were talking about, how to manage your emotions, how to control your passions. That's the biggest battle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have that one written down here, sort of in my notes, how to rein in your passions, but not just your passions, your lust as well. And mm-hmm. Well, that'd be a whole show
That's
in and of itself.
Show,
and every guy just kind of, yep.
I thought of what Moses did, along with what you commented.
Mm-hmm.
Self. Moses did not control self in killing.
Oh, there's a good example.
You know,
he kills the Egyptian.
Exactly.
Yep.
And that was inappropriate.
Inappropriate. Use of force.
Even though that Egyptian was... acting inappropriately. He intervened with force, and that ended up being, well, a major problem.
And I think that was a very passionate response, you know, and that is that inner battle. I see that with my son Chase all the time, where he's learning to control his emotions. He's learning what is appropriate response and what is not appropriate response. And when he does not behave appropriately or respond appropriately, then he gets very angry at himself. Changes his entire mood, and you can see this real inner struggle. I mean, he's almost kicking himself because he wasn't able to master whatever this is. It's a struggle. It's a hard battle.
Yeah,
I think it's something that we struggle with our whole lives.
Yeah, it is, and struggling with self. I've got that written down here somewhere. How to test yourself, I had as my number 7. How to take personal inventory and appropriately test yourself. Because, well, there's a passage in 2 Peter that says that not testing yourself and growing is being short-sighted. That's what it says. Listen to this. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, this is 2 Peter 1, verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control. I had that word underlined here in my notes. To self-control, perseverance, another sort of thing that appeals to men. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that's the greatest glory of a man we saw in episode 1,
right,
is to have the knowledge of God. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, it says, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. There's a number of things in there that we've already touched on: self-control, perseverance, pushing through. And if you're not learning to do those appropriately, the Bible says you're blind. Blind.
Yeah, there's some major categories in there. I really like the way that verse lays it out. I mean, you're talking about interpersonal relationships. You're talking about work ethic. There's a lot of things you can unpack out of those verses.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're not building, I guess that's the point I was trying to raise out of it. It's not enough. I don't think you've ever arrived. If the ultimate glory of a man is to know and understand God, when have you arrived? You'll be working on that even after you get to heaven, I think.
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about depth of character, you can grow infinitely.
And I know in my life, those attributes are not brought on by my own sheer will and
that's
strength.
Right. No, that's true.
You know, I will say that comes from a blessing from God.
Mm. Well, yeah. And that's what was going through my mind, that these things are not attainable by us in our own power. It's impossible to get there.
Notice I read that verse without my glasses. Just because I'm in a room full of young bucks.
Getting younger.
Yeah. I'm getting younger as the show
But if they
goes
can
on.
See the print that you use, the font on size on that thing, they'd see that it's
a 42 it's point.
Sean, how
He's
do you
got three words per page.
How do you test yourself? What does that look like?
I think that is where my daily, you know, if your greatest glory is to know God, I start every day, and my day starts pretty early, 4:30, something like that. I start it in the Word. I start it in Bible study because this is where God reveals His character, and this is where I not only get to know Him, I can test myself. Paul talks about examining yourself in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and so as I'm reading the Bible, there's this temptation for every human being to use it to measure everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Look what I found. And so-and-so, he doesn't do that.
Yeah.
That's not the purpose of the book. The purpose is to measure yourself against the perfect standard, which is Christ.
Amen.
And so I take inventory, and as I'm going through Scripture, I'm saying, where do I still need to grow, Lord? Where is that point where I know I have a long ways to go? It's on almost everything, because if the standard is Christ, you're going to have to grow forever. But for me, it starts with worship. And for me, it's stopping several times a day to remind myself of what I studied in the wee hours of this morning before things like passion and temper and those things, sort of your baser nature starts to overrule what you were trying to learn in the early hours of the morning.
That could be, I think that sounds like it could be overwhelming, but my, you know, my own personal thought is that you're taking a personal inventory, you're reviewing those things, but I don't think that God's going to overwhelm us with all of those categories at once. There may be one or two things where right now in this particular season of life, He's going to be edging us in that direction. Do you think that's true?
Well, there's a paradox in this whole thing. What you've raised, I really do struggle with. And the paradox is this. The closer you actually get to Christ, the less you're going to seem like Him in your own view.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so there's a paradox here. Here's the verse that I mentioned this a moment ago, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Love that. Every man loves to test himself. Well, we ought to be testing ourselves spiritually. Test yourselves, Paul writes. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So we're to test ourselves against God's standard to see if we are still in the race, if we're still qualified. And the closer you get, I guess the best illustration I've got is one time we were going to renovate a church basement, and the first thing that they did in that church basement was replace the lights. Oh, it's going to look phenomenal. And they put all these new lights in and turned them on, and now it looked worse than it ever did because you could see every flaw. The paint was awful.
Right.
They should have painted first. When you come to Christ, when God is your standard, when you test yourself against the Word of God, it's like turning on the lights, and the closer you get to Christ, the less like Him you actually seem.
That's right.
So I don't worry about people that worry. I'm not nothing like Jesus. I said, that's a good attitude. You're nothing like Jesus. You're on your way. If they're apathetic, then they've checked out of the race.
I think there's another element here, too. Back several years ago, I did a program called Natural Church Development. It's a program that many churches use, I think even to this day, on church growth. And there was a picture in one of the books that I was reading, and it was of a bucket. And the bucket had slats, you know, those wooden buckets that have slats,
yeah.
And they have a metal band around them. And so they had those slats at different heights. And the thought was, pouring water into that, you can only pour so much water into that until it gets to the slat that is the lowest.
Right.
As soon as you get to that slat, it begins to pour out. And so the thinking with NCD was that you find that lowest denominator, you begin to work on it until it picks up. Mm. And it would rise in the matter of a year, and it would rise above others. But once it does that, then another slat becomes lower. And so now the water drains out of that. And you've got this constant going back and forth working on different items. I think this verse that you talked about, Sean, is just like that. We're working on all these things, and God is working on all these things simultaneously with us.
Mm-hmm.
And as we pay attention to one, like, you know, let's take care of the lights in the room, as we pay attention to one, now that's taken care of at a certain level, but it illumines other things that need to be taken care of. And
yeah.
We're constantly growing until Jesus comes.
Yeah, you're never going to hit the point where you go, you know what? I'm there.
That's right.
If you say that, you're off. You're on the wrong trail.
So one of the items on my list that I think maybe goes along with this. So there's the personal walk. There's the personal journey. But you know, one of the questions that could be asked: how do you be a spiritual leader in your home, in your sphere? You may not be a pastor, clergy, Bible worker, but how can you be a spiritual leader for your family or in your sphere?
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Well, tell me.
I think it's modeling some of these things for sure. I mean, in my home, obviously, you know, we have evening worship together as a family. So that's a start for sure.
Yeah.
To be a spiritual guide.
I think the model is great. I had an opportunity to live with my grandparents for a short time. And every morning, early in the morning, my grandfather would get up and he'd have his own personal worship devotion time in his room. And he would sing the very same song every single morning. Now, I never participated in that worship. I was never part of his own personal worship. But to this day, that song stands out in my mind.
Hmm.
And it's one of those factors where I can look at and say, one of the reasons that I'm here today as a pastor is because of his faithfulness, morning by morning, singing that particular song. It made such an impact on me.
Wow.
Guys, what else do you have on your list? We're just about into the fourth quarter, and
I've got kind of a touchy feely one. I want to get off my list.
Oh, all right, no.
He's
going to do it.
I regretted to put it on, but I think it's important.
All right, do this one.
You need to get an X too. So go ahead.
No, look. Every man needs to know how to admit when you're wrong.
No,
without excuse.
No.
Oh, come on, man.
That's
wrong.
I don't like hearing whining.
Just admit that you're wrong about bringing this up. Without excuse.
I'm not getting an excuse.
Yeah. I think, you know what? No. I think this is powerful. I think it takes a real man to admit that you're not always right.
But I am always right. No, it's absolutely true. Why is that so hard for us, though? I mean, the fact that you put it on your list tells me this doesn't come easy for men.
No, and I really didn't want to even say it was on my list.
Well, it's almost like admitting weakness then, right?
I think, yeah.
Well, we don't want to be weak.
No.
I mean, it goes back to some of the conversations we've already had. We want to be the protectors, the defenders, the strong man. And any time you show anything less than that, then we feel like we've been unmasked.
But I think, Alex, you know, you know where your weaknesses are because I'm going to have weaknesses. You try and buttress them. Maybe you have mentors or you have other people who can help you. But I think it's powerful to know where those weaknesses are.
It is. I think also sometimes by saying that we're wrong, it has lots of ramifications as well. Of maybe what you've defended for a long, long time and the position you've taken for a long, long time. And
that's
now
true.
Now you've got to take all that back.
What motivated you to put that on the list?
Because I've seen that in my life. I kind of exactly what you just said. Standing for something that you realize now, that probably was a mistake to believe that, you know?
Yeah.
And that takes humility, I think.
Courage.
God-given humility.
Yeah, it does. It isn't easy. I'll admit, it's not easy to admit you're wrong because you're supposed to be the defender and the protector and the one who's charting the course. And then if you're admitting you're wrong, it's like admitting that, you know, maybe I wasn't everything I said I was.
Yeah.
And that's not easy.
It's a big pill to swallow.
I hear the music playing. It's going to save us just in time so that none of us have to admit we're wrong. I think that's a really good point. And I'll admit, I struggle with that one. To come back and say you're wrong, usually you have to get over your temper first, and then you go back and admit that you're wrong. All right, I hear the music. It is time to take a little break, and then we'll head into the final quarter.
Retirement planning can be a stressful process, but it doesn't have to be. The friendly people at the Voice of Prophecy can walk you through the entire process and explain all of your options based on your specific needs. Whether you'd like to set up a trust for income or make a gift that will benefit your loved ones and change lives through the Voice of Prophecy, we're here to help. To learn more, call 1-800-348-5993.
Do you feel as if you have more questions than answers in your life? Are you searching for answers to some of life's biggest questions? The Discover Bible Guides can help you find the answers you're looking for. Visit us at BibleStudies.com or call us at 888-456-7933 for your free Discover Bible Guides and begin your journey today to discover answers to life's deepest questions.
Time to wake up. Time to get yourself back in front of the radio. We are back from the break. We are in our final quarter, our final, what would you call a segment, I guess? Your final segment of this bullpen episode of Disclosure. My name is Sean Boonstra. This program brought to you by The Voice of Prophecy. The bullpen is when we get guys in studio to discuss faith, culture, religion, well, just discuss whatever they want to discuss. And our topic today has been the 10 things every man should know. And actually, this is episode 2 because we got through 3 things, I think, in the first episode. And so we're onto the lightning round. Ben made us all very uncomfortable right before the break.
That's right. That's
by
right.
Saying, hey, we got to admit when we're wrong without an excuse. And without an excuse is an important qualifier. Why'd you put that there?
Yeah, because that's the part that everyone wants to have an excuse for admitting why they're wrong, but that's why every man, I think, needs to be that non-excuse portion to that.
That I yelled at you, but here's why.
I mean, in the workplace, right. In the relationship, yeah. in the home, it will save a lot of headaches.
Well, this is straight from Genesis 3. You know, yeah, I fell, but this is
the woman you gave me.
There you go. Exactly.
Lay the blame somewhere else. What else have you guys got on your list? We're almost going to have to go lightning round now.
So the reason why you shouldn't be laying the blame on somebody else because it takes a responsibility. What do you have to learn? If somebody else made you do that, then,
you're not testing yourself.
You have
anymore.
To internalize it then.
But that's
say,
the point.
Okay,
we don't feel as bad for ourselves because it's justified. If we can justify our actions,
then you're not learning.
Fine. You can walk away. But
that's true.
So I've got one here. But before I go there, I just have to just put it out in the air. Just mention that. You know, I got a lot of strikes for going shopping and things like that. But the only guy here that actually took a brush
and
out
your ribbon,
and started
your
to,
ribbon collection.
To brush their hair was Sean. He was the only one that was really worried about how he looked with the other guys in
here.
But anyway, my makeup was
he's not giving himself a strike for that.
No.
I've already given him
my
one.
Mascara was wrong.
Hey, there's one.
It was all wrong. They told me in the control room I wasn't as pretty as usual.
It was blue. There was one that I wrote on here.
Blue mascara. Do they?
Is this the lightning round?
It's the lightning round. Yeah,
we've already lost it. Okay, so one of the things that I tell my son all the time is that true wisdom is learning from successes and mistakes, especially learning from other people's mistakes.
Other people's mistakes.
I often say not your own. Not your own too, but I often say don't.
Well, that's true though.
Don't invent the wheel again. Yeah. Don't redo something that you've clearly seen. Sit back, look at these guys making mistakes, and just take that. Don't think that you need to try it out because it's going to be different with you.
Fully agree.
Just learn from that particular mistake.
Listen to older men. I had that somewhere in this sheet. Listen to older men. Why in the world wouldn't you?
And that's why I'm still single.
Knockout. Oh, no. Yeah, for me that was
you're
actually
a wise man.
Mentoring, having mentors, quality mentors in your life.
I agree.
Important.
You know, we've built this culture, and I think to our detriment, that glorifies youth, but wisdom isn't found there. You know, as the book of Job says, wisdom is found with gray hair. Mm-hmm. Go to the gray hairs.
Talk to them. That's right. They've been there,
done that. And the gray hairs, when I was a younger man, they had been through the Depression. They'd been through World War II. They had an awful lot to offer.
Yeah.
And by listening to them, I mean, the things they told me, stay out of debt. Whatever you do, avoid debt like the plague. Well, we did that to the best of our ability, and my goodness, I don't... Well, there are things I lay awake about at night, but it's not because I have payments on my couch. Mm-hmm. I go get a used couch, you know?
I think there's so much value in mentoring, finding some strong men around you and in many of the categories we're talking about. And having quality relationships with
which
them.
Which I think is a big gap in today's...
It is.
Well, any society, church society, work society, it's hard to find quality mentorship.
It really is. Yeah. It's hard to find quality men. It's like they've disappeared.
Yeah. Well, what about being a mentor is something every man should know, because there's going to I complain all the time about, oh, the millennials come in, they think they deserve a corner office and stuff. But what have I done to help that next generation sort of learn what we learned along the way?
You taught them how to throw a punch.
No, I didn't. That's right.
You detailed it out.
But yeah. I think sharing.
I was a horrible fighter, by the way. And this was my pre-conversion life when I. Let me just underline a few things here. And then you can write your complaint letters to Ben Torres, box 999.
I think, though, sharing and giving is an important part of actually keeping sharp yourself.
Sharing.
You know, you talked about spiritual leadership. Okay, if you want to be a spiritual leader, you have to actually be spiritual yourself. And so, you know, when it comes to. I think I agree with you.
Yeah.
Seeking out mentors, but being a mentor to others, up and down the chain.
Well, it's occurred to me as my own mentors have died, literally died. Yeah. They've moved on, and I think, now who am I supposed to call when I have an issue? You know, because, and that's particularly in ministry. I used to be able to call older ministers. They're gone. And then it occurs to me, I guess I'm the guy that the new ones phone now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well, I was watching Ron Halverson.
That was one of my mentors.
One of your mentors, and he was close to my dad as well. And I was watching him one time talk about how he would go into the inner cities and just pour himself out for these folks. And I sat there convicted that I didn't have that love for people that Ron did.
His was unparalleled.
I felt ashamed. There's this level of passion and patience, I think. You know, you talked about the millennial that wants the corner office. We get impatient over that. And we're like, yeah, we could try to mentor this guy, but I just don't have time for that. Mm. And so we sort of push it away. And I think that takes a lot of patience on our part to be a mentor.
What else have you guys got? We've got like 7 minutes.
Well, I was actually thinking to myself, Sean, we've talked about a lot of things, but is there the top three things? If you can't do anything else, what are you going to focus on? Like, can we summarize this? Can we get like maybe three things that are super?
Well, I don't know.
I do want to get to one thing though that you mentioned before in the last show.
Yeah.
And we never really hit it, and it's just the concept of being a man. Be a man.
Yeah.
I found myself saying that to Chase all the time. All right, you got to be a man. Mm-hmm. And then I don't qualify that. I walk away, and I think he just sits there confused, and I'm like, well, you know, what is that supposed to mean? And I know, Sean, you mentioned that, but we never really discussed it.
Yeah.
What does it mean? What does it mean to be a man?
Well, I've got on my list here to know what the value of a man is, because the world demeans men, and they're telling us what men are not. And I think they're wrong about a lot of what they're telling us men are not, but do you know what a man is then? And again, that comes from Scripture, I think. I mean, if my highest glory is to know and understand God, then I need to turn to God for what a man is supposed to be.
What have you got? Have you got anything on that?
What is a man supposed to be? My goodness. Yeah. Well, I've got five more pages. I know. I heard you trying to say, let's do three. And I don't know. How do I summarize three? Or
well, I don't know. I mean, for me, it would be, you know, spiritual is number one. Character development would be number two.
Yeah.
In basic major categories. But I think being a man would encompass everything we've been talking about.
Well, that's
about.
It. It's like my top 10 points here would have been, here's what a godly man is. Yeah. I have how to maintain integrity.
But one of the questions that I have, and I think this is really powerful, Sean, you alluded to it a moment ago. What is the world saying a man is right now or shouldn't be versus what do we really believe a man is?
Absolutely. And I think that is what we're talking about. You guys came in with lists, and I know you're all Christians and you all went to your Bibles and studied this stuff. I think what we've been defining has been really our attempt to land on what God says a man is.
Yeah. If you look at Jesus as our mentor, right? Mm-hmm. The life of Christ, you see him respected in the family, in the home, in society respected. Work ethic strong with his trade as a carpenter.
That's right.
Right? And then he's out sharing, selflessly helping others. You know,
protecting,
those are three things, right?
Protecting right to the end. Hey, he's on the cross, and he says, "Hey, John, take care of my mother."
Yes, mm-hmm.
Protect your provider.
Yeah, yeah. Know what a man is. All right, now so, we got to go real lightning round.
I think some
let's
of this,
rattle them off without. We don't have time to discuss them all. What else do you guys have on your list? You've gotten through almost.
I have just one left.
What do you got left? What do you got left?
Know how to fix your car. That's just bottom line.
But
as
you know,
a guy.
I used to be able to do it with a screwdriver.
Basic car care.
And now when I open it, everything's electronic.
You need a computer engineering degree.
Yeah, I know. There's no carburetor anymore.
Well, buy a different car, I guess.
So I have one.
And learn how to take that apart and put it back
well,
together.
Well, no, I used to have like this Dodge Dart, and you could fix it all with a screwdriver.
I believe it.
It had points. It had a carburetor. It had all the important things, and you could fix it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now they just throw it out.
So I have another one here. No good communication and negotiation skills.
I had
how to write
too.
A letter.
Yep.
Maybe how
that's,
to even write a letter to how to communicate.
Good. I had negotiate down. What else you guys have?
So I had tell the truth and keep your word.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have
honesty,
that under,
integrity.
Maintain integrity. Even if your handshake should be, you know, my grandfather.
Handshake, thank you.
Oh,
yes.
Big pet peeve.
How to shake a hand.
Yes.
Always reach up and grab the guy's elbow and hold his hand and make eye contact, for crying out loud.
Or the loose hand grip.
No, don't do the less hand grip. Oh,
yes.
No.
Oh, man.
It's like, and make the eye contact's important for me. For you? Like, if they won't look you in the eye.
It's a complicated thing to do a good handshake.
I hadn't thought about that, but
a lot of
you know a bad
involved.
Handshake when you,
yeah.
mm-hmm. you absolutely
Definitely.
Do. What else do you guys have?
I the other day, my son and my daughter were fighting. and she said stop three times progressively. Mm. Stop, stop, and then she yelled it out, stop. And so I pulled him into the room.
She needs to stop yelling.
And she does. She does. But it was one of these great
strike.
It was one of these great teaching moments. And so one of the things that I told him is one of the most important things that we need to learn that's going to keep us out of jail.
Very good.
Is that no means no, and stop means stop. Don't you ever forget it.
It does.
One of the other things that I have, Sean, talks, you know, we've talked about work ethic, and there's a lot of things that a person can do practically. I mean, you had a great point, Ben, between, you know, career shifts or whatever, you know, a skill.
Right.
One of the big things for me, I think, that's going to empower people really with a lot of purpose is find out what talents and gifts God has given you. Understand what those are.
Fantastic. Good. What else you guys got? I've got how to cope with suffering. Because you're going going to suffer, and some men suffer well and some do not.
Mm. Healthy ways.
Huh? Yeah.
So I had one on here on being assertive. You know, sometimes we get run over all the time, and if we don't teach...
Especially when you're reaching for that special outfit
at
the mall.
You got to be assertive. You got to get the right one.
On Black Friday, you're grabbing that outfit, and you're going to have...
You got to grab the right...
I've
had some great
too.
Black Friday days,
throw
man.
A punch? Oh, no.
I used to be... Black Friday was my favorite shopping day.
So, I had the physical category, how to defend yourself, be a protector, but how about how to stay physically fit? To stay healthy.
Very good.
Yep. Especially as you crest 50, let me tell you.
And maybe you know basic first aid.
Oh, basic. That's a good one.
That kind of comes under the camping skills for me here. How about delayed gratification?
Yeah.
Oh, that's powerful.
Huge. Delayed. How to deal with failure. I've got that one down
there.
Oh,
that's good.
Very good.
Because you're not going to win every time. And for us, pride gets in the way. That one I had on my list.
I think we're going way over 10.
Oh, no, we're way over 10. Now we're throwing everything on the table. Here's one. When to go to the doctor. I'm horrible at this one. I won't go until
Never.
A limb falls. Yeah, I know. When to go to the doctor. I put that on there because it's not easy. I will go to the doctor when I'm out of options.
When you can't drag yourself to the doctor.
That's right. When someone has to take me, then I'm going to go to the doctor.
So what about critical thinking? You're not just going to follow other man's ideas.
Yeah.
You need to research something and figure something out and land on
something
with conviction.
Are you telling me I
conviction.
Should know how to read a book?
No, just think.
I have that on my list.
All right. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. And I just put on here reasonable. To just be a reasonable man.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm. All right.
Good.
How about how to relate to a child? Everybody gets quiet. No, I'm horrible
at it.
I would not go and speak at my daughter's kindergarten after the first experience. It's like, oh, I'm terrible at it. But what else you got? We got 1 minute to go. Quick. Just one-liners.
How to follow, be a servant. How to be a servant.
Maybe empathize. Understanding, like you talked about how to relate to children, but how to empathize. Get into somebody else's shoes.
That's getting into feelings.
That's a lot of touchy-feeling. How about know how to survive in the wilderness as a man?
That makes me more manly.
Thank
strong.
You.
Yeah, thank you.
How to close out with the manly topic.
How to make a decision and stick with it.
Mm,
very
that's good.
Good.
And my last one was temperance. You know, temperate. Just be temperate in all things, Scripture says.
And now we have to be temperate because it sounds like we are out of time. Thanks, guys. I bet we had 70 or 80 things that every man should know, and there are more. Thank you for listening. Ben, thanks for coming in again from Mead.
And, thank you for having me.
Yep, and thanks for revealing that you are a chef. We're not going to let that go down.
That's right.
That is not official.
No, it may not be official, but you will be cooking for us.
I am amateur chef, I guess.
Yeah, good. And thanks, Palmer. Thanks,
Thank
Alex,
you.
For coming in. And we had all the answers, it seems to me. We just had all the answers on how to be a man. If you want to know how to be a man, stay tuned. Come back next time. Until next time, I'm Sean Boonstra. Thanks for listening.